بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, it is a well-known fact that every single government of the world, every business enterprise, every successful organization is constantly looking forward and planning for the future. We always hear words like this company's short-term plans, that organization's long-term plans, this government's vision 2030 and the rest of it. And this is so because every organization, every government, every business enterprise has realized that not only for them to thrive, to grow, to prosper, to flourish, but for them to survive and to continue existing, planning for the future is essential and integral. As a person says, the one who does not plan for the future, in reality does not have a future. Now just hold that point for a moment, my dear brothers. Recently, I had a relative of mine, a cousin of mine, who grew up in Transvaal, and he's been living in the UK for the last 20 some odd years. So he came back home for a little while. After some time, he had come back home. And while he was around in South Africa, he came down to Durban. I met with him. We spoke. And he mentioned to me something that he had observed that got me thinking. He mentioned that he observed a glaring difference between the youth of where he comes from in the UK and the youth of his hometown here in South Africa. He mentioned that he found the youth of UK to be much more involved in deen, in the activities of deen, as compared to the youth of his hometown here in South Africa. Now this is just merely his observation. We don't have to read too much into it, and it's not necessarily the reality of the matter, but it began to make me think. It began to make me think that what have we done, or how much are we planning as a Muslim community of South Africa? How much are we planning, or what are we planning for the deen and the iman and the Islam of the generations that will come after us? You see, my dear brothers, alhamdulillah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has been very, very kind to us. In no way am I suggesting that we were the best Muslims in the world, or that we were not free of shortcomings. But it will be a great display of ingratitude and nashukri to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we do not admit and concede that over the last few decades, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by global standards, has blessed us with a lot as far as our deen and our Islam goes. Allah has blessed us with many, many masajid, ulama, the righteous people, the salihin. Allah blessed us with madaris. Basically, if a person in this country, unlike so many other parts of the world, if a person wanted to learn his deen, practice his deen, it is very, very easy for him to do so. It is very, very simple for him to do so. He didn't have to look very, very far away for a person to practice upon his deen with very little hindrance and very, very little difficulty. And my dear brothers, this level of deen that we have experienced for so many years, alhamdulillah, didn't come about just like that. It didn't happen just like that, perchance. Rather, it was through the fazl, the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sacrifice and the efforts of the generations that came before us, who had that vision and had that preparation in mind for the coming generations, that resulted in this level of deen being created in our communities. If you look in the past history of Islam, Allah has blessed us with many, many visionaries, many, many people who made great sacrifices for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Starting off one of the earliest Muslims in this country, Sheikh Yusuf of Makassar, who was sent as exile to the Cape as a prisoner, and there in the Cape he set up what can be known as the first Islamic community in South Africa. And not long after him, we had people like Imam Abdullah bin Abdus Salam, more commonly known as Sheikh Tuan Guru, who was also a political prisoner who was incarcerated in Robben Island in the 1700s. And while he was incarcerated there, he had the concern, the worry, the fikr for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst in prison incarceration, he wrote down a few copies of the Quran from memory. And when he was released from Robben Island, then he established what became known as the Masjid Awwal, the first masjid, known masjid in South Africa. And my dear brothers, in the recent past, we had many of our seniors, many of our ulama, our scholars, who had to sacrifice, who had to give up the comforts of the home and travel abroad to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them traveling to Pakistan, some of them to India, some of them to Egypt and other parts of the world. And they underwent great sacrifices, great effort they made to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to bring it back to our shores and to propagate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must have heard of the famous incident of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sima rahmatullah alayhi, who completed his study of the Alim course in India in 1942. And at that time, 1942 was at the height of World War II, which took place between 1939 to 1945. And Mawlana was on a ship that was returning from India to South Africa in very dangerous waters. And the ship that he was traveling in was torpedoed by a Japanese submarine. Many of people on the board, there were 1,000 people on board and as well as crew, many of them passed away. Through the kindness of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala spared Mawlana rahmatullah alayhi, and he and a few people had to spend a few days on a lifeboat at sea until they were safely picked up. We hear our respected Ustaz Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Haq Mafta Sahab had mentioned to us on one occasion that in his days when he was studying in Jalalabad, at that time the Darul Ulum didn't have any doors. The boarding didn't have any doors, merely a curtain or something like that at the doorway. And he said many times when they were sleeping at night, some cat or some dog would come into their room and eat up the food that they had. And he mentioned that time there was no electricity in Jalalabad, so sometimes the ustad would call me for lessons at night. They would go for the lesson with the lantern, and sometimes they had to read the kitab to the ustad. And because of the light, some huge insect will be attracted to the light and come and land on the kitab while they are reading. And they had to continue reading, so merely hit that insect off the kitab and continue reading. You all must have heard, you probably know better than me, Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, and the great sacrifices he made for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous incidents we hear of Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi and his time he spent in Moy River. Mawlana Ilyas Patel Sahib Daum Barakatuh mentions that Mawlana rahmatullah alayhi lived in a home in Moy River that was made out of wood and iron. And he said that the toilet of the home was some distance outside the home. And we know Moy River, how cold, how severe the cold can become. And at that time, Mawlana rahmatullah alayhi, his home did not even have a geyser. So these ulama, my dear brothers, likewise, our Muslim businessmen, our Muslim professionals in this country, they had the vision where they worked hard and they were prepared to generously contribute their hard-earned money towards the upliftment and the funding of masajid and madaris. And likewise, maybe so many other people, وَآخَرُونَ كَثِيرٌ لَا نَعْلَمُهُمْ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُهُمْ. Many other people who we may not know of them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of them. So the long and short of what I'm saying, my dear brothers, this deen has come to us with great sacrifice, with great efforts. And now we living, my dear brothers, in this generation and this time and age, as the current Muslim community of South Africa, what plans are we making? What are we doing to ensure that the Iman and the Islam of the future generations are secured? So I was just thinking, my dear brothers, I wish to share with you 5 points which I could think of. Of course, will be the elder amongst us, the more wise amongst us, who probably think of more things. But these are a few 5 points which me, in my weak understanding, could conclude and see that could possibly help us to try to prepare a generation of good, pious and steadfast Muslims. So the first thing, my dear brothers, is that just as we have the concern, the worry and the fikr for the financial well-being of our progeny, of the future generation of our progeny, and rightly so, just like that, my dear brothers, we need to have within us a true fikr, worry and concern, rather a greater fikr and worry and concern for the deen of the future generation. Because my dear brothers, after all, a flourishing career of my child or the booming business of my child means absolutely nothing if that child does not have deen in his life. We have heard so many times from so many people about Muslims in other parts of the world. Muslims from Muslim countries like Palestine, Jordan, Syria, may Allah forgive all of us, my dear brothers, who are Muslims like you and I, who read Salah, who read Quran, who discharged Zakat, who made Hajj Umrah. But then they migrated to South America, and there they did not have an collective plan to secure the iman and the Islam of the future generations. And the result of the lack of planning, very, very shortly we find that a lost generation was created. A generation of the progeny of Muslim people who had no sign of iman in them, my dear brothers. May Allah protect us, my dear brothers, so that we have to have this worry and this concern. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif explains to us, encapsulates the worry and the concern for the future generations that many of the Anbiya alayhi wasallam had. Allah Ta'ala speaks about Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam at the time when he and his beloved son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam were building the Kaaba. Amongst their du'as were, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمِينَ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. Wallah, make me, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and my son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, make us true Muslims, people who have submitted to you. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. And oh Allah, make from the future generation an ummah that will also be subservient and be submissive to you. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the worry and the concern of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَا إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالِ بَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, at the last part of his life, what is his worry? What is his fikr? What is his concern? Oh my sons, I am going. When I go now, who will you worship? What will you worship? Which way will you follow after I have passed on? Allah Ta'ala in Quran Sharif speaks of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam. And I think an English translation of these verses do not truly encapsulate the tone and the feeling of this ayah, of this ayat. He says, وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانِتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. Oh Allah, I have grown old. Wallah, I have grown weak. For many, many years, I've been making a sacrifice for your deen, wallah. Allah, I have a great worry, a great concern that if I go now, and there's no one to continue my legacy, and continue what I preach, then this deen will be wasted. So Allah, look at the fikr, my brothers. This fikr, this worry and concern is an ajeeb thing. When a person has worry, he has concerns. Many, many times, against all odds, when everything was heavily stacked against him, still Allah makes a way for the person. Zakaria al-Islam in his old age, but the worry and the concern, I need an heir. I need somebody who will continue my legacy. فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ. Will carry on this legacy. And Allah in that old age, Allah blessed him with a son, the great Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. So my dear brothers, the first thing and the most important thing, my dear brothers, we have to have this worry, this fikr, this concern in our heart, that what will be the condition of the iman of our future generations. I beg all of you, my dear brothers, right now, don't look at anyone else, but make this intention in your heart right now. The planning for the future does not start later or start tomorrow, it starts right now. It starts right now. Make that intention in your heart. Oh Allah, I have a concern, a genuine concern for the iman and the safety of the deen of my progenies that will come. So that's the first thing, my dear brothers, that we have to have the fikr and the worry and the concern for the future generation. Secondly, my dear brothers, for the future generation to be steadfast and firm upon deen, we in this generation have to be steadfast and firm upon deen. We are the foundation of the future generation. We are the foundation of the future generation. And the more solid the foundation is, the more solid the structure will be. A person put up a high and lofty and imposing building, then he has to ensure that the structure, that the foundation of that building is absolutely solid. We hear in the khutbah on Fridays, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the best generation is my generation. And thereafter, the time of the tabi'een, because of their generation coming closely after my generation and the generation of the Sahaba, and because of them finding their foundations on my generation, that also makes them one of the best generations. You know, we always hear about the conquest that took place in the time in the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the famous Islamic conquest where the armies, and very important point, my dear brothers, the West and the Mustashriqeen, the Orientalists, tried to draw the picture that the Muslim armies of Sahaba were a vicious, marauding army that were there to steal and loot and plunder. But we looked at the lives of Sahaba and what they did after they conquered these places. The army of Sahaba was not a conquering army, but rather they were a liberating army. the liberation army of Sahaba, who liberated people from the clutches of oppression and from zulm and from kufr. But these famous conquests and liberations that took place during the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ulama write and ulama say, وَالْفَضْلُ فِيهِ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. The credit of all of this goes really to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the man who at the time, the great personality, who at the time of the passing on of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when there were many, many major challenges that arose, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala at that time took hold of the reins of the ummah, and he steadied the ship, and he went about, in the 2.5 years of his rule, went about to put an end to all the turmoil that had erupted after the passing on of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he laid the foundation and the platform and the stage, handing over a stable khilafah to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to now orchestrate the conquest of these lands. So my dear brothers, understand that for the coming generation to remain steadfast upon deen, we ourselves have to be steadfast and firm upon deen, because we are the foundation of the future generation. The next third point, my dear brothers, we have to make a correct and collective plan. We have to make a correct and collective plan for the future generation. Alhamdulillah, my dear brothers, there are many, many people who have the worry, who have the concern, and all of them are trying to chip in. But I feel sometimes, and I stand to be correct on this, that sometimes we try to be too sensational. We try to be too sensational and we end up overcooking it, as they say. You know, sometimes we Muslims make the mistake that we think, and definitely our challenges, our problems are very, very major, very, very complex. So we think to challenge the major problems and the complex problems, we also need major and complex solutions. We need intricate solutions. Whereas, my dear brothers, you know, as the famous English saying goes, if something is not broken, don't fix it. If something is not broken, don't fix it. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us systems, Allah has given us structures that have worked for us for so many years, and inshallah, it will still work for us on the condition that we are prepared to sacrifice, and as a community, we are prepared to get together and do it. The basic things. Imam Al-Qutubi rahmatullahi says, for a nation to be safe from ruin, they require four things in them. They need the leaders of the community to be upright and just people. Number two, they need righteous and pious ulama. Number three, amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar has to be taking place. And lastly, my dear brothers, we need the ummah, the woman of the ummah, to be safely concealed in the homes and not go about rubbing shoulders with the men. The basic things, my dear brothers, is going door to door and speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going to the mashayikh and learning about deen from them. This maktab system we have, my dear brothers, which may seem as a very, very simple thing, that alim or that apa, may Allah reward every single one of them, sitting in some madrasa, teaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alif ba ta tha, teaching the fundamentals of deen, may seem as a very, very small thing. But wallahi, this is a very, very powerful and a very, very great thing. You may have heard of the famous Mujahid of Libya, Sheikh Omar al-Mukhtar rahmatullah alayhi, who became known because of his bravery in the battlefield, was known as Asad al-Sahra, the desert lion. He spent 50 years of his life, making jihad against the colonizing Italians who colonized Italy. And eventually he was captured by his enemy, and he was made a shaheed, he was killed by them. But they also had to appreciate, وَالْفَضْلُ مَا شَهِدَ بِهِ الْأَعْدَىٰ. Even they had to appreciate the efforts of Sheikh Umar al-Mukhtar rahmatullahi. One time during his years of jihad, he was sitting with some students around him, young students around him, subhanallah. And this, my dear, هَكَذَا Muslim. A Muslim has so much to offer. One time, at one moment, a ferocious warrior in the battlefield, and the next moment, a compassionate and kind ustad teaching children around him. So his friend, Yusuf Burahil, comes along and says, Sheikh, what is this? Have you not done enough by spending so many years in jihad, but you still have the time to teach the children Quran? He says, understand, my friend, that our battle will not be won with the sword or the bullets. Rather, our battle will be won by true belief. And wallahi, the only reason why Allah has allowed the Italians to conquer us and colonize us is because we have given up teaching our children the deen. So my dear brothers, we need to make a collective and a correct plan for the future generations. The fourth thing, my dear brothers, we have to ensure that we hand down to the youth, next generation, a very, very clearly defined, demarcated deen with no blur lines, with no blur lines. Next generation has to know exactly what is right and what is wrong, what is good to go and what is a no-no. They have to know this very, very clearly. They have to know what are the boundaries of our, they have to know what are the boundaries of our deen. Imagine a person passes away and this person has not left any clear will. He has shares with certain people. He owes money to people who people do not know of. People owe him money that they don't know of. He has some of his assets on somebody else's name. What a mess. Many things which people, which were supposed to go to his heirs, may not end up going to his heirs. And certain things that were not the right of his heirs may end up being inherited by his heirs. Likewise, my dear brothers, if we will leave behind a very unclear, a very, very blurred image and picture of deen, then what will be the condition of the future generations? And the way to achieve this, my dear brothers, is for us not only to stay away from the impermissible things, but also to stay away from the doubtful things. Because we may be doing something that is doubtful, but that young, those young eyes that are watching us at that time, that will not be doubtful in their eyes. And they may push the limits even further. Like so, for not so long ago, intermingling of males and females were regarded as not acceptable at all. But over time, this seems to have become an acceptable thing. And as time is going, the limits are being pushed. Now the youngsters are saying, no, before marriage, we need to court for a little while so that I get to know the person. At least I get to know the person now rather than facing a divorce later. So my dear brothers, we need to leave behind a very, very clearly demarcated, very, very clear, with no blur lines, a very, very clear deen for the future generation so they understand precisely what they have to do. And my last message, my dear brothers, the fifth and final message goes out to none other than the future generation, the youth of the ummah, my dear brothers. Youth ummah, I don't only mean the teens, but those, the young adults amongst the ummah, the community, our Muslim community of South Africa. Realize the responsibility that you have upon your shoulders, my dear brothers. May Allah give everyone long life, but the reality of the matter is, all the grown-ups in the first saf will not be here forever. We need the next generation to be right there in the next saf, so that when a void and a gap is created in the front saf, the next generation is there to fill up the gap and to fill the void, my dear brothers. My young brothers, you having iman in your heart, you are very, very valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are too valuable to be enchanted by Facebook and by TikTok and by Instagram. You are too valuable to be mesmerized by the football players of the world. Salahuddin Ayyubi, Muhammad Al-Fatih, Muhammad bin Qasim, Tariq bin Ziyad, and many others. Once upon a time, they were normal youngsters just like you. But they had a worry and a concern in their heart. I'm sure, my dear brothers, we have hope that amongst this youth, amongst our generation, there is another Muhammad Ayyub, Muhammad Salahuddin Ayyubi, that is lurking. There is another Muhammad Al-Fatih that is lurking. There is another Tariq bin Ziyad and Muhammad bin Qasim to come ahead and liberate the ummah, my dear brothers. Allah has not created us to only make and fulfill our careers. By all means, may Allah Ta'ala give you a successful career. May Allah give you a booming career. But if you only live for a career, you will live and you will die and nobody will speak about you after that. Allah has created every one of you to leave behind a legacy. Allah has created you to leave behind a legacy. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi. I challenge you, tell me the name of one influential businessman that lived in their time. In fact, I even challenge you, if anyone can come with the leader of the person in the time of, the leader in the time of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, very few or no one will know this year. But Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, because he left behind a legacy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used him. He had the fikr of deen, Allah ta'ala made him left behind a legacy. May Allah ta'ala give us the understanding, my dear brothers. May Allah accept us to make effort for the future generations. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.